It's the state of Victorian greyhound racing and the stories behind the sport. This is RSN 927's Off the Leash.
Hello to you, Georgie Ferrucci. Excited?
Oh, absolutely, mate. I just hope that rain stays away after Maddie's little forecast there. But I did check that it's going to rain a little bit in the next couple of days, and then by Friday it should only just be some scattered showers. So hopefully we get a nice clear night, mate, because as you say, you were on track last week. You could just sense the buzz of people being back on track and all of you bigger and better for a race meeting, Gareth, where there are six group finals to be run and won. And of course, all culminating in the big one, the Group 1 TAB Melbourne Cup.
Jason Lincoln joins us today on Off the Leash to have a chat about this Melbourne Cup as well, from Sky Racing, of course. Hello to you, Jace.
Hello, boys.
How's your week been? Are you looking forward to the Melbourne Cup? What did you make of the box draw, first of all? I think Aussie Secrets made it once again.
Oh, it's inevitable. Once he got in the race, he was going to get box one, wasn't it? You just knew. Look, any time he's in a race, he makes the speed map quirky, that's for sure. But from box one, yeah, everyone's got to worry about him now.
Georgie, I thought we'll go through each and every runner here and we'll get your opinion on it and then Jason's opinion, because we'll start with Aussie Secret. He's at $8 and $2 the place, drawn box number one. Is he a big winning chance in your eyes?
Oh, because I think so, because he's a professional. I mean, he's won 31 races. We mentioned on Thrill of the Chase, Garrett, that his last three sectionals at Sandown are 504, 507, 509. So he puts himself in the race. And I believe he was the second fastest, highest speed greyhound on the night, behind, amazingly, Typhoon Sammy, who clocked over 70 k's an hour again. So, yeah, look, he's going to push up on the inside and he's got to be rated as a chance.
Jason?
Yeah, I think he's one of the big players in the race, Gareth, for sure. Look, think about these finals, and George will know as well as me, but it's not always, we don't always see the fastest times in these finals. Obviously, we had Hardstyle Rico break the record, I think, last year, wasn't it? But as a rule, the finals generally run a little bit slower than the semi-finals. So I wouldn't put too much credence in where they all lined up against each other last week, because it's now more about track position. And with him down on the inside, yeah, they're all going to have to get around him early. Koblenz is really going to have to nail it to get across him. And then anything that sort of stuck outside him at the first turn could be in trouble. But he's going to make his own luck from that draw. And yeah, I think he's a big player. Well over the odds, I think.
Yeah, he's $8, $2. Is Japara in a bit of trouble now, George? He's drawn right alongside Aussie Secret. Or is his best bet to miss the kick slightly and then go to the inside and maybe get that saloon passage through?
Yeah, that would be the best bet. But as we know with Japara, and we mentioned it yesterday, on 17 occasions at either Sandown or the Meadows, he's gone under 5.10. So at his best, he can show some speed. And that's exactly what he did against Koblenz last week. He put himself into the race early. So that might help Koblenz and Aston Rupee. The cover might come from Japara.
Yep. Jace?
Yeah, he's a tricky one. He's sort of the rose between two thorns there. He's got, two express beginners either side. Not that he's a slow beginner, as you just pointed out. We'd all sort of ideally be thinking, oh, geez, if you just missed it a half and went to the inside, that might work for you. But as we've seen with the two Weblack dogs the past 2 weeks, they've both been well back, drawn inside Aussie Secret, but neither of them were quick enough to get into the run.
Let's have a look at Koblenz. Does he cross in your eyes, George?
He has to do everything absolutely spot on, and usually that's what Koblenz does. But Aussie Secret's a very, very safe beginner. So even if he is running 4.95, Aussie Secret's got an opportunity where he might just clip him a little bit. So, yeah, Koblenz just has to begin cleanly. And if he's able to get past Aussie Secret, then there's a scenario in the race where he's off and gone, and then a few of them are shuffling behind. So that would be the hope for Dave Gill. It would be an unbelievable effort for Dave to win two Melbourne Cups, but also cap off what's been an unbelievable 2021 for him with Ferdinand Boy, and he's made every group final, and he's just been unbelievable this year, Dave Gill. And, oh, look, there's an opportunity for it. If there's one dog in the race who can do it, it's probably him. I'd say he would have preferred to be drawn a little bit further out after Aussie Secret drew box one, because might have given him a little bit more time to balance up and cross a field because of his great beginnings.
So, Jace, is $3 too short for Koblenz?
In my eyes, it is. I thought of the runners that were in a single figure price anyway. He's the one that I think there's the most leeway to get out in the market. I absolutely agree with everything George just put forward. And just to use the harness racing analogy for your benefit, Gareth, I think what George said is right. If Glenn's was probably drawn a little bit wider, you know yourself, got two fast beginners drawn alongside each other behind the mobile, it's really hard to cross. But if you've, you know, if you're a little bit wider and you can get that leverage, for want of a better word, then it does make it a bit easier.
Aston Rupee's at $2.50. There's some, Georgie, saying that it's a perfect draw for him, and there's others saying that he's going to get crammed up and he's going to have a little bit of interference into that first turn. How do you read this situation with the favourite?
It's interesting. When he was drawn in the middle of the track a couple of starts ago, he ran 28.89. He went 5 seconds flat, and that's what he's going to need to do. He got obviously overtaken early by Fernando Bluey, but if he can just be there, usually cream can rise to the top. And as we've seen last week, he's able to take a couple of bumps and still finish off in 10.40, and he has to be a huge chance. So I think if Japara and Koblenz just hold off Aston Rupee, especially for that first 50 metres, then he might put himself in a race where, even if Kinson Bale comes around the outside, he might put himself in a race where he's second or third, and the cheers will grow louder from that point. So, yeah, look, there's so many permutations for this race, but he's got to be a huge chance, obviously.
Are you taking him on, Jace, the favourite?
No, not this week. I actually think the draw is okay for him. I think having Koblenz on his inside is sort of the right buffer that he'll need there. You'd never expect him to be right up alongside Koblenz, and it just might help if he's just back off him sort of three quarters of a length. I think the middle's perfect for him because, as we've seen, George, he wants to even push a little bit to the right, but he runs a very straight line. And, I loved his track sense there last Friday. He used himself really well in the early stages when he was pushed down to the fence by Fernando Bluey. And again, I think it's a similar setup here where I think the dog that possibly is the worry for him is more Japara. Because if one and three sort of clear him a little bit and he's then looking to want to get back to the fence in that next running line, for want of a better phrase, it just could be Japara on his inside that's keeping him out of the spot that he wants. But I think the draw can work out for him.
Yep, time will tell, but it's a fascinating race. Gareth Hall, Georgie Ferrugia, and Jason Lincoln, two of the smartest minds in greyhound racing, joining me for a special off the leash as we preview the TAB Melbourne Cup, the world's greatest greyhound race on Friday night. And we have just had a chat about the favourite, the $2.50 favourite on Friday for the Cup in Aston Rupee, the country's quickest dog. In fact, he would be the world's quickest greyhound. But whether he can overcome middle box, time will tell come Friday night. La La Kiwi, Georgie, can she crash to the inside and maybe cause a few headaches for Aston Rupee? She's at $10.
Yeah, probably not crash so much, but yeah, look, she's usually a very safe beginner. Her Cranbourne Classic victories came set up by some very good first splits. As we mentioned, she has broken 5 seconds early at the Meadows to show her class. She probably hasn't done that in a little while. That might be a bit of a concern. But one thing you'll know with her is that she doesn't mind the rough and tumble and chasing against this type of field. She ran fourth in a Top Gun. So she's not going to be deterred in this field. And I just don't mind where she's drawn either if she can begin cleanly. But yeah, look, I suppose with the likes of Koblenz on her inside and Aston Rupee, it's going to be tough for her. But I was happy to have a play at the odds, Gareth, more than anything.
Jace?
Yeah, she was. I wasn't quite sure what to do with. I agree with George. I think the draw's okay for her as long as Aston Rupee sort of doesn't get her early because Lakeview Wilder on her outside will give her enough room. As George said, she's still running good splits for the first mark. I think it's just what she's doing the first two or three strides. Again, there last Friday, she took two or three strides to really get into her work. And it's one of them races where you're going to sort of need to really come out under the lids, especially to offset a draw like this. So I wouldn't completely pen her if she got to, if she got to the right price. She's certainly one you could save on.
Lakeview Walter, he was pretty good from an inside draw there last week. His first sectional was, 5.10. He gets box number six. Your thoughts with him there on Friday night, Georgie?
Oh, yeah, you're right. I mean, that he just set up the race when he went 5.10 and he was able to hunt up and hold a position off box one. It's just unfortunate that he's drawn off the track here. He's been a terrific greyhound. He's taken out two silver races in the Silver Bullet and the Silver Chief. But I'm not sure what Jason thinks here. I think he's one that I'd lay because of the box draw and this. No matter which way you look at it, and the permutations of how they're going to get to this first corner, he's going to have to rely on a whole heap of luck.
Jace?
It's impossible to map him into a favourable position, isn't it? You'd certainly be encouraged by the fact that he began a lot better last Friday night, and as we quite often see, George, that could do his confidence a world of good. As a rule, the draw would be okay for him because he handles wide draws perfectly well, but as you pointed out, with so much pace underneath him, it's really impossible to map him into a favourable position. So, yeah, he's going to need a lot to go wrong with some of the others.
Tiberio Bale, he caused a little bit of an upset to win his heat. Can he win as Jason? Well, he found him at $81 there last week, and I think he's still celebrating. I don't think he's been to bed yet. But can he win the Melbourne Cup, Pete? I mean, I should say to you, Georgie.
No, I don't think he can. He went 5.13 last week, which is the best he's ever gone to the first marker. And even if he replicated that, I don't see him in a nice enough position. Look, and even the stats that Sandown had worked on in terms of average speed and top speed and first splits and all that, he ranked in the bottom three in most of them. And look, he did a terrific job to win last week, but I can't see him finishing the top three this week.
Chase?
Well, quite obviously, he's rocketed to the top of Greyhound of the Year calculations after Friday's win. So I'd say that's one he can put to bed. Yeah. But in all seriousness, yeah, look, he's going to battle. The whole reason I put forward why he was a chance last Friday was that he's desperate for the inside. So from box seven here, he's up against it.
They tell me, some good judges, Georgie, say that you can't win a Melbourne Cup from box number eight. I say that Kinzon Bale will prove all of those theories wrong come Friday night.
I seen Canton Bale win a Melbourne Cup from box eight after about seven or eight career starts when people thought he couldn't do it. But look, his habits are really good, Gareth. 5.04 to the mark the week before, and then in the Melbourne Cup heat, he went 5.02. He led them up in the Silver Bullet where he was run down by Lakeview Walter. He's a talented greyhound, but I look at it like this, Gareth. He's had 44 starts. He's won $66,000 in prize money, and I think that's probably a highlight of his talent compared to some of these other absolute bona fide superstars. Now, Kinzon Bale might get into a nice position. I'd say that a place chance would be best. Gareth, that's my opinion for Kinzon Bale, even though he's drawn pretty well. I don't think he can beat some of those drawn to his inside, especially closer to the fence.
Jason, do you give him any chance?
We'll probably have him on top, I think, Gareth.
There you go. Great judges, see? We think alike.
I think at the $15, he's an absolute... You just have to have something on him. I think being drawn away from the perceived messiness on the inside is obviously key, but I think one of the real features of his last two wins, in particular the win in the prelude, and I would certainly accept it was a pretty soft map that night, but he's just got really explosive acceleration. He's coming out under the lids and then really letting rip to the post and setting his races up through the pen. Now, quite obviously, there are faster dogs in the race than him, but I've got no doubt he can run your sort of 29.40 on the bunny. And if what we think might happen happens in behind him and he's swishing around them, I just in my mind's eye, I can see him getting the fly around them there at the first turn and getting away with it. I accept George's point that, there are far classier greyhounds in the race, but we're talking about it as, from a purely punting perspective, then I think $15 is well over the odds. And, yeah, he'll be getting some of mine, Gareth, for sure.
So I'm backing Aussie Secret and I'm backing Kinzon Bale here, Georgie, because I think that there'll be a little bit of mayhem into that first bend, and drawn boxes 1 and 8 and out of trouble might be the best boxes there come Friday night. What are you doing, Georgie? Because you have been seeing them beautifully.
Yeah, look, I was happy to have a bit of a play on La La Key with the odds, but it might be a race that I keep out a little bit because I just think if Aston Rupee can do things right in the first 100 metres, he should be winning the Melbourne Cup and becoming only the second dog in history to win that triple crown behind Bombastic Shiraz. But, and obviously there's a little bit of value with Aussie Secret because he's just going to be able to hold his position early, and even if he does push out wide, he could be the one that skips away as well. So well, look, it's just an amazing race. What about the size? The size. Once Aussie Secret drew box one from the other connections, yeah. they just, you know, as the Wiz said, you just knew it was going to happen once the box draw was being done. But look, he's a great greyhound, and he's got an unbelievable record from box one. So I know the Thompson family are wrapped with where he's situated.
It's reality TV at its very best there, Jase, trying to explain it to people there that don't follow greyhound racing closely. And for our listeners listening now thinking, what are you talking about, guys? But Aussie Secret's a greyhound that loves to get to the outside. So drawing the inside, he could cause mayhem in the first part of this year's Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, well, at the very least, he's likely to hold a few of them up in any case. So, he creates a lot of interest, and I can't believe this, but we're on exactly the same page here, G. I'm having two bets in the race, and they'll be Aussie Secret and Kimpton Vale.
Beautiful. The way that you were tipping there last week, I'm pretty happy. I'm hopefully your luck hasn't run out. What about, I've got one for you too in the Bold Tree Slats. I might go with you first here, Jase, just to see if you agree with me or not, but I'm all over Kenny the Brute. He'll rail through on the back of Untapped and go bang.
There are going to be plenty of people in the Kenny the Brute category, and you've probably read the race pretty well there, Gareth. Untapped from box one, our man the Sheik, of course, heavily in the ownership here. Look, we know she wants to push up the track. She broke the first section record there on Friday. The little query, and I'd love to get George's opinion. We speak about the second up syndrome with stayers, and I think primarily it's more of a worry with front running stayers than back markers. And that would be the little query with her. Look, I've had something on her in the all in, and I'm on at the big odds, so absolutely give her strength. But they've all got to beat Mapunga Ruby. She was clearly the most impressive of the heat winners, and she's drawn pretty well herself down on the inside there, Gareth. So, look, I wouldn't turn you off Kenny because you make a good point. He's well drawn down the inside, but I think this will be a favourites race.
Georgie?
Well, I can tell you, Wiz, that she has pulled up pretty well Untapped. She did cramp, as you would have noticed, in that heat win, but I understand your point of view. She got out to a really big lead. She's going to have some classier greyhounds to try to stave off here, but she'll certainly give him something to chase. Last time she had box one at Sandown, she ran 33.87 over the 5.95. She can ping a box, so I think the box is okay, especially from the 7.15 boxes where you're off the track, Jase. I don't think she'll track off. I think she'll just slowly head towards the fence and then maybe use a bit of the track in running. If Mapunga Ruby begins better than she did last week, she went 6.21. She's clearly a better first sectional greyhound than that. I can't see how they beat her. I really don't. Look, there was some question marks about her last week because she's only had two runs back from an injury spell, and she just knocked all those queries out the window in 41.63. I think if she's going to be in a really forward position, she is clearly the greyhound to beat. And in regards to Kenny the Brute, I think he's a place chance. I can't see him winning the race, guys, but look, I've heard, I've told you so before in the past. So, yeah, I think Mapunga Ruby for me.
Geez, I'm looking forward to proving you wrong come Friday night, Georgie, on a few accounts. Hey, what about the Phoenix slot? Now, I'll go to you here, Jase. Greyhound Racing New South Wales have started the voting. Well, voting's open up for New South Wales sporting fans to choose their dog to represent them in the TAB Phoenix.
Yeah, that's right. They added the final five greyhounds, and there weren't a lot of shocks there, Gareth. I think we spoke about Lewis Rumble, didn't we, on the show last week, and no surprises there. He added after a brilliant performance at Casino, where he nearly broke the record the other day. So, yeah, it'll be an interesting one, that one, with it being a popular vote. I think I pointed out on your show, I think Bandit Ned's probably the most likely to get through, but dogs like Zipping Curios and Wow have big followings as well. So, yeah, that's going to be really interesting.
All right, then Sipping Curios was named the Greyhound of the Year. In fact, it was Flying Ricardo, sorry. Daniel won the New South Wales Greyhound of the Year for 2020, Jase.
Yeah, look, a short but very, very sweet career from Flying Ricardo. I think he has gone to stud with the breeders basically clamouring to get to him. I know he's already got a number of litters on the ground, and look what he did in a very, very short space of time, Gareth. was exceptional. He's one of those dogs that every time he went to the track, he was capable of running near record times. I think he holds the, I think he is the second quickest greyhound around Wentworth Park in a race ever. He broke the record at at Bulleye on debut over the short course, and as I said, he ran near enough to record times everywhere else. His performance to run down Simon Told Helen in the Megastar at Dapto was arguably his career best. So, yeah, worthy winner of that award, Gareth. Just a shame we didn't get to see him a little bit longer on the track.
We just had a vintage era, Georgie, of superstar greyhounds. Shimmer Shine, Tigalong Tonk, Hardstyle Rico, Hooked on Scotch, Sipping Kyrgios. I've probably missed out on a few here. But, geez, it makes it for a very competitive breeding barn for those dogs, really, to stamp their claim and put their hand up for potential breeders to go to them.
Yeah, and to Wiz's point, I think he's already served over 50 females, and we haven't really got into the breeding season per se. So Flying Ricardo certainly being well patronised there. And yeah, you're right. I mean, we haven't seen any stock of Hooked on Scotch yet. I mean, he was an absolute gun. You talk about Group 1 wins. I think his Adelaide Cup win's got to be right up there. But again, to Jason's point, that the way he ran down Simon Told Helen, or at least put the heat on him down the back at Dapto, was incredible. I think a lot of Victorians thought Simon Told Helen had that race won. So I think that's what put him on the map. And look, he's been a terrific greyhound, and he deserves he's a Greyhound of the Year gong.
All right, then. Hey, just quickly before we let you go, guys, the Devonport Chase featuring, well, Fernando Boy and Aston Rupee's half-brother, Georgie.
Yeah, Aston Lee's drawn box 8. He was the quickest of the heat winners in 25-21. Ferdinand Boy looking for another cup, obviously winning 3 in Victoria. They look, the greyhounds, to have it between them. How about Aston Miley, guys, as a producer? She's thrown Aston Lee, obviously, Aston Rupee. Aston Flame broke the Shepparton track record yesterday. I spoke to Ray a couple of days ago. The mum, Aston Miley's come on season and going straight back to Casey and all to repeat the mating of Aston Rupee and Co., which is a litter, guys, that has won already in excess of $630,000. Now, obviously, Aston Rupee's won the lion's share of that, but the whole litter can run, including Aston Fastnet, obviously. So she is just a blue hen, and Ray's going to have fun for the next five or ten years, generationally at least, with that female.
Spot on. Geez, he can breed a greyhound there, Jace, can't he, Ray Border?
Yeah, he's got plenty there, that's for sure. So, I mean, Ray will tell you, he's got to get some good ones to help pay for the other ones. George knows plenty about that. But, look, anyone that puts that much time, effort, money into the game deserves to get some level of success. So I don't think anyone would begrudge Ray the success he's having.
I've got a question for you, Jason. I asked this to Georgie yesterday. I think you were sitting on the fence, George, which is unlike you. But I asked the question to him, if Aussie Secret wins the Tab Melbourne Cup, does Jason Thompson go a Typhoon Semi or Aussie Secret?
Interesting question, Gareth. Look, I think what we've seen from Typhoon Semi and his 2500 so far is really just a little bit of a tease of what's to come. I think he'd not had a 500, George, and I could be wrong, for probably 3 or 4 months prior to the last couple he's had, which have been in the top grade. So, I think when we see him back at the Meadows with another couple of weeks of Thompson tuning under his belt, Gareth, I think we're going to see a really smart dog. And George pointed out the data coming out of Friday night again pointed to him as one of the fastest dogs for high speed going around. He again was the only dog to hit 70 k's an hour on the night. So it is an interesting question. Racetrack performance obviously counts for something, but I think Typhoon Sammy's the faster dog.
Yep.
That was actually one time I didn't sit on the fence, Guy. I think I said to you, Gareth, that I think with another 3 or 4 weeks with some fine tuning, he's likely to come out and run 29.70 at the Meadows, but running, you know, low fives and, you know, 17.60s down the back, which is probably what you're going to need to win a Phoenix. I think Typhoon Sammy all the way for me. I don't know. I know Aussie Secret is an absolute gun, but yeah, just watch out for Sammy in the next couple of weeks. Just quickly, guys, as well. the fields have just come out at Sandown, and there's the Sir John Dillon Memorial, which is a Group 3 in Race 8. And there's also another fantastic group listed race for the Cup Night Stayers, where Stanley Road, who's drawn Box 7, will start a very, very short price favourite, you'd suggest.
As soon as you mention Stanley Road, the dogs start barking because he's been unlucky. He's been a little stiff. Hey, Georgie, I've already worked out a multi there for Sandown Park. Race 2, number 1, Russian Sub is in my black book. He's drawn box number 1, so he should be winning. And then we move on to race number 6, Jack's Bale, dog number 5, into Stanley Road. No, into race 11, number 1, True Kalinda there, Jason Lincoln. So you don't need to do your form anymore. I've done it for you.
Perfect. So there's 4 I don't have to do. That's wonderful. We're already in agreement on the 2 big ones. We've only got half a card to go.
Yeah, can't wait for Friday night. And the build-up's going to be something else because Aussie Secret's drawn box number 1. And there's so many different opinions, Georgie. And we'll probably change our opinion by the time Thursday rolls along.
Have a good day, guys.
All right, good on you, Georgie. Jason, looking forward to the catching pen. What's on the catching pen tonight?
I'd say it'll be highly focused on the Melbourne Cup, mate. Look back at all the action from Friday, a lot of the post-race interviews that Patch managed to get from the track, which will be really interesting viewing, and obviously have a look forward and a couple of interesting guests as well. So, yeah, tune in.
So, basically, you haven't read the rundown yet.
The rundown's inside, Gareth.
Thanks, Jason. There we go. There's Jason Lincoln from